Betsy, one of my favorite Maine, Florida stories tells the tale of that in 1844, Ralph Waldo Emerson was visiting a newspaper office in Portland, and a young clerk burst in the room and said, "My God, the Atlantic cable has been laid. Now Maine can talk to Florida." And the editor said, "Yes, but has Maine anything to say to Florida?" What does Maine have to say to Florida and the rest of the world in the 21st century? I must add, we're at Pekes Island, which, if you think about it, 100 years ago, must have been one of the most isolated places in North America. Mm-hmm. And here now, it's a world that's wired. But what does Maine have to say to Florida and India and China in the dawn of the 21st century?
It struck me as being very sobering that I was going to a state that was at that point investing $5.5 million a year through MTI in innovation at a time when our peers in Florida and in California were investing in the hundreds and hundreds of millions and in fact billions of dollars, at a time when China was saying that they wanted to build 100 MITs, Massachusetts Institutes of Technologies, in that country over the next 20 or 30 years. So it was, I think it's very sobering. But, you know, if you look back in history, 400 years ago, we were building boats in Maine. We still build boats, and we are becoming, I think, more and more a place where Maine is known for its excellence in boat building, both traditional materials and wood, but also increasingly with composite materials. And not only for the pleasure recreation market, very high end, but also for the military market or the high speed ferry market. So I think the answer of Maine to a Florida is that we are building on what we're very best at. We have funded a company called Textech Industries that 100 years ago made baseball uniforms. And today they make more than most of the tennis ball felt in the world in their Asian factories. But here in Maine, they're making very high-end fire retardant and ballistics protection materials. So converting a very skilled workforce in textiles, a strong infrastructure in textiles, into very high-end, high-value-added materials. So I think we are able to compete with larger, wealthier states by being very strategic and saying, what are our strengths and how can we build on those strengths to make sure that we're sustaining and creating jobs that are not only nationally competitive, but globally competitive.
Many people believe the great crises of the 21st century will be global warming and increased prices in gasoline and other technologies. How do you think Maine will cope? How will your institute address those issues? And how is Maine situated to cope with global warming and $4 a gallon, soon to be $8 a gallon gasoline?
Well, I think we're facing a real fork in the road, and I should say up front, I'm not an energy expert, but you can look very bleakly at this issue and sketch out, as former Governor King has, a future of Maine where we're really just a very large national forest or national park that no one can afford to get to, because I believe about 80% of Maine households are heated by heating oil as opposed to natural gas or propane or other, although equally expensive these days, sources. Or one can look at a potentially far brighter vision of offshore wind or tidal turbines that could generate not only a great deal of energy for the state of Maine, but also for our neighbors. Certainly making investments in looking at and developing the technologies that are needed to do that successfully, and understanding the environmental footprint. You know, yes, one can have tidal power turbines, but does that disrupt, say, our lobster or our fisheries? We have wonderful research institutions in Maine, like the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, Bigelow Labs, and others, who could help assess what would the environmental footprint of some of these renewable energy resources be? Mm-hmm. So as well as perhaps creating manufacturing jobs through the for the building of the composite turbines that could potentially power these energies. So I think we're really facing either a rather bleak future if prices continue going up and we do nothing about it, or else a very promising one if we are purposeful and strategic. We certainly have, as one of our areas of expertise and funding, environmental technologies. So we have made some bets so far, and but we can only fund those companies that come to us. Mm-hmm. So we also are encouraging others. And in fact, this year we are starting, we will be adding additional renewable energy technology funding that the legislature approved last year.
100 years ago, I think, You might argue that Maine was left behind the great industrial revolution. You know, railroads, iron and ore technologies, meatpacking, communications revolutions. Are you confident Maine will be a leader in the next great technological revolution? I mean, you seem optimistic.
Right. Well, I think we have some real assets now that perhaps we didn't have some time ago, in that being a global or a flat world today, folks can come to Maine and live here and work on almost anything. And yet, you know, if they leave the office at 5 or work out of their home office, they can be kayaking at 5:20. Mm-hmm. I joke that I've lived in Maine now 3.5 years and I've been in 4 traffic jams, and 2 of them were in Baltimore. whereas coming from New York City, I could be in traffic jams every day, and in fact never drove in New York City because of the certainty of that. So I think Maine has a lot to offer if we make smart investments in both our innovation economy and in our quality of place. And that's exactly what a couple of years ago paper that the Brookings Institution wrote about Maine, that if we are smart and see innovation and our quality of place as not being separate and competing priorities, but seeing them as very complementary priorities, that we have a bright future.